Blog Talk Radio.
Chicago, that's right. It is Wednesday. I'm going to throw that date up. Wednesday, January 18th, 2017. And Taking the Limits Off is on the air live from the West Side Studios located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. And man, we got a show for you guys today. It is going to be good. It is Wisdom Wednesday. That's right, Wisdom Wednesday. We try to impart some good information into you on Wisdom Wednesday. Today's conversation, the one we didn't get to last week, how to handle betrayal and rejection.
Yeah.
How to handle betrayal and rejection, something we all know a little bit something about, man. This is going to be good. I'm excited about it. In the studio, as always, my brother in ministry here, the one, the only pastor from the First Bethel Church, Pastor Cornelius Parks from the First Bethel Church on the South Side. How are you, sir?
Man, I'm good, man. And you?
I am awesome, man. Awesome. Glad to have you in the room with us again today. Yeah, it's going to be good. We should be joined in a few moments about the good cardinal. We're going to pray. Y'all pray our strength that we make it through the show today. So, that's all I got. So, look, it's going to be a good show. But let me give you the rundown on how you can be a part of the show. If you're already listening on the line, simply push 1 and you can be a part of the show. Again, if you're already listening on the line, simply push 1 and you can be a part of the show. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546. That's the number to reach us. If you want to do that, you'll get that number. You'll get to our producer. She'll let you get to us, and then we can just start talking. That's the way it works. If you want to email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Again, you can email the show at takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. If you want to reach us, that's how that's done. Real simple, real easy to do. Let's see. Social media. We're all on social media. Simply go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TTLO radio. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO radio. You can definitely find us there. If you want to tweet the show at TTLO radio. Again, you can tweet the show at TTLO radio and you can find us there. The live streams are up and running. Ustream.tv. Do a simple search on Ustream for Taking Limits Off with Dana and Devon, and you will find us there. Hit the subscribe button. You won't have to be told that. It automatically show up in your library. Do I got everything right here? Yeah. And then the other live stream coming online right now, Facebook Live just went live right now. At this moment, Facebook Live just went live. Facebook.com/TTLO radio. Again, that's Facebook.com/TTLO radio. You can find us there. Going to be a good time. And then last but not least, download our podcast. You can go to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast simply by looking for doing a search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon, and you will find us there as well. Man, it's good. What's going on, Doc?
Man, you got this thing, man. Just trying to share this a little bit, but yeah, you got this thing, man. It's good to be here.
Good to have you in the house, man.
It's good to be seen and not viewed.
How you feeling, sir?
Man, sweetness going down, man.
Here we go. I knew it was coming.
Hey, this sweetness is going down, man. My face is getting skinny. Man, it's happening, man. It's happening.
Thank you. All right.
It's happening.
your face getting skinny?
Yeah, my face getting skinny. Yeah. My face is getting skinny.
Okay. All right.
And actually, the stomach going down too. Look, I know inches have dropped.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing, man. When you eating right and cutting off certain time, how amazing things happen quickly.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that's been helping me is water. Man, I think I drink, man, over 2 gallons of water a day, man.
Wow.
I'm not able to work out like I want to.
Right, because you're
the girl,
right.
And it's getting, it seems like it's getting worse. Mm-hmm. But other than that, man, when I looked this morning, I looked from head to toe. I seen sweetness leaving me, man. I'm gonna have to name a bittersweet.
is it really
bittersweet?
Bittersweet.
Man.
Yeah, no, the bittersweet part.
It's tremendous.
See, the good thing is, if you know what we're referring to our fasting and praying, our 21-day fast and pray we've been doing. We started on January the 9th, wasn't it?
Yeah.
January the 9th. So this is day 10. Am I right?
Day 10.
I think so. Day 10.
Yeah.
So man, it's been good. It's been absolutely wonderful. We are excited about it.
We have
I think it's day 10, right? My math might be a little off. Yeah, that's about right. Okay.
I have algebra with support, so.
But we've been I can't believe he just said that out loud. I thought I told you stop saying that, man.
Yeah.
Don't tell nobody else that. Oh, God. So as we always do, because of our fasting and praying, we want to make sure we're giving you guys the scripture. We had one for breakfast, but you can use it anytime. It doesn't matter. They're not designated for any time. I just call them breakfast, lunch, and dinner scriptures. But the scripture from this morning, I'm going to give you a scripture. My brother's going to pray for your success and that you find what it is you're looking for, and that whatever it is you're fasting for, that it comes to fruition after this is done, that God gives us clarity. The scripture for today came from two scriptures. One, the first one's from Romans 8:1, and the second one is from Micah 7:19. The first one, Romans 8:1 says, There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Micah 7:19 says, He will have compassion upon us, He will subdue our iniquities, and thou will cast all their sins into the depth of the sea. Pastor Parks, pray
Father
for
us. Father in heaven, we thank you, God, once again for the opportunity to come before your throne. God, we ask right now that you continue to give strength, endurance, power, God, as we continue this fast. For God, we're doing it for spiritual purposes. God, there's some things that we want, clarity that we need. And we ask right now that you drop it and release it in the atmosphere, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank every person and partner throughout the city, throughout the country with us in this endeavor.
Mm-hmm.
We pray that you continue to cover them, be a refuge right now in the name of Jesus. Give them a spirit of stick-to-itness, God, as they can continue to persevere all the way through. 11 more days, God. We trust you in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray. Amen.
Amen. Look, y'all, this is good. This is having a good time. Look, we're going to take a quick break so we can add some more stuff up here to the front. Some more people coming on up here. So we're going to take a real quick break, y'all. We'll be right back. TTLO.
Yo, everybody, come get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Don't be cute with it. You got to get, come on. Fifth one. Fourth one. Come on. Sing it.
We are back, barely. I don't know how long we're going to be back today. We have been joined by the good Cardinal. Cardinal, you got sounds and stuff over there?
Hello. I can hear you. Hello.
Let's try it again.
It's me.
Oh.
There you go.
All right.
Hallelujah. I've been wondering where. Okay, hallelujah. Okay, Jesus.
Lord have mercy.
We are back, y'all. It is Wisdom Wednesday, and as always, the good Cardinal from the Second Baptist Church of LaGrange. The Second Baptist.
Yes,
wait, is there a First Baptist Church of LaGrange?
Yeah, there is.
Where is it?
It's old, you know where the post office is in LaGrange?
Yeah.
Right behind there. You've seen it several times. Matter of fact, if you park on the side.
Across,
right,
by the railroad track, so it's okay. On the other side. Is it actually on?
It's on that. It's on the side street, but they park on the side for the post office.
Okay.
Sitting right there.
Okay.
You've seen
okay.
it several times.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Just wondering about that. That's okay.
Now,
okay.
Y'all, Paul was supposed to bring me some tea.
Oh, Lord.
And he wanted to tell me to be. Listen, he's sitting over here looking like the James and the Giant Peach. Listen, he got so many waves in his hair, I get seasick looking at the waves in his hair. Because you know me and Dana ain't got no hair. Got so much waves, so many waves, I got seasick. Look at the waves. Lord, he's getting, got to take me some motion stuff for the waves in his hair. You know what I'm saying. All right, play along. Thank you.
Now, let me before we go off the rails.
We gonna stay on the rails.
We gonna stay on the rails today. I got a stern talking to because y'all just act a stone fool last Wednesday.
Tanya, we enjoy it. We get together. We don't get together that often, but we gonna try our best.
Right. I just need you to just hold it together because
okay, I'm gonna try to hold it together.
Yeah, because a whole bunch of folk was talking about y'all two last week.
Well, listen.
Was quiet last week.
You was a quiet
no,
line.
No, last week I was reserved.
Did you just quiet line?
No, I'm for real. Last week.
So it was just him.
I was reserved.
It was just him.
No, you. No, I didn't do that. That last week I was reserved.
Wednesday.
Last Wednesday I really was reserved.
And I watched this.
Uh huh.
If a whole bunch of people were talking about it, I mean a whole bunch of folks listen on Wednesday.
Well, they weren't listening.
Come on. Y'all ain't gonna help me praise you. I left my phone in the car because your wonderful trustee they said, you can't park over there because the truck is coming. So I had to run. You know we get a truck over here, Charles Deacon. You know we get the truck over here and the truck coming all over here, so you can't park over there. So I said, thank you, Kingdom. You know, I'm fine with that. Thank you, Kingdom. But anyway, we're glad that you all listen to Wisdom Wednesdays. Hallelujah. Here on TTL.
We're going to change the name
in
of Wisdom.
Kingdom,
Wisdom Wednesdays. We got to change the name to I Wonder What's Going
to
Happen on Wednesday.
Pack. To wow.
The Pope, the Apostle, and the Cardinal.
Hallelujah. So we're going to make sure of that. But now, you know, every now and then you have to vent. So venting is good. Not a venti mocha, but venting is good.
I want to address a couple of things real quick. We want to send our condolences. Kingdom lost a member last night of one of our very old members, seasoned members, I should say. I don't even want to call her old, but had been with the church for I don't even know how many years. I know probably longer than me, but she passed away on, we believe it was Sunday night, sometime Sunday night or Monday. She's one of our ushers, Cleo Coleman. She passed away. She's part of the Coleman Goss family, and she passed away. Has a lot of family here, and I went and sat with the family last night. They were there till about at least almost 1 o'clock in the morning. And,
God bless.
We want to definitely keep them in our prayers. Her son Keldrick, definitely want to keep him in our prayers as well. So, man, yeah, just that one was unexpected because just saw her on Sunday. Was messing with her, teasing her, because we go back and forth all the time.
Wow.
Just saw her Sunday.
Yeah.
So,
also,
we definitely want to keep that family in our prayers. Go ahead.
While we're doing that, also, yesterday,
mm-hmm.
My good, listen, Commando for Life,
mm-hmm.
it runs through our blood. There was a very, very bad car accident early Tuesday morning,
mm-hmm.
On I-290. Well, yeah. Courtney Hargraves, that's my classmate, who is fighting for his life right now. My friend Randy Ross lost his life. Matter of fact, it was 4 men in the car.
Wow.
3 of them are dead.
Yeah.
Wow.
And Randy Ross.
That's on 290.
On 290, right by Western.
Wow.
Randy Ross, as I said on Facebook yesterday, I don't even know Randy knew my real name, but it was always preacher.
Uh-huh.
What's the good word?
Wow.
And he leaves behind about 6 or 7 children.
Wow.
And then the other two.
That's true.
And like I said, Courtney is fighting for his life now, and before anything gets out and all this la la la,
mm-hmm.
those of us who knew our friends,
mm-hmm.
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So we ain't got to go another further with that.
Right,
exactly.
Right.
We knew our friends, mm-hmm. so please do not let the media try to make it horrible.
Yeah.
You know, you know your buddies. You know,
right.
Even if you don't talk every day,
you know
them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So you know what was going on.
Yeah.
So just, you know, let's, and then it was raining horribly on Monday.
Yeah, yes, it was.
I was out there
all day Monday.
Yeah,
it was bad.
But Monday night, the lightning was flashing and thunder was rolling. I seen the lightning flashing. I heard the thunder roll. Yeah, I mean, seriously.
Oh,
so we're in prayer for that family.
Also, I don't know if we were, know Judge McCartan,
who
passed away.
From
no, the church right there on Laramie and Madison, right behind the beauty supply store.
I'm not sure.
So about Reverend Jones?
No, Judge McCarthy. That it's a little church. You know where the beauty supply store is, right? Right across street from Truth and Deliverance.
Okay.
You know that parking lot, right?
Right.
That church,
what
right?
Bible something.
Bible Way.
Oh.
It's sitting right there on the corner.
Yeah.
It can't be no. It ain't even 100. I think it's like 25. Oh, gentlemen, he was a pastor.
Yeah.
Wow.
He had been there for a long.
Yeah.
Long
but
time.
He wasn't old. He wasn't old. No.
Wow.
He wasn't old.
Right there by the alley. You can't miss sit. It's facing the Walgreens. Like, okay.
Not that one. The one on the.
Okay, you're coming down Madison.
Yeah. You come down
Laramie.
Laramie.
You're going north or south?
North.
Right? Okay, going north.
You know where the beauty supply store is?
Uh-huh.
And then
it used to be St. Rest. Uh-huh.
Right. Yeah, and then right there, that church right there.
Sitting right there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
wow.
Man.
It's man.
That Sunday, man, and funeral arrangements coming up. Man, it's a lot of pastors even walking away from that pulpit.
Oh, God. We.
And you know what? That's the article.
See, that's
next Wednesday. Make sure you, are you going to be here in town?
I'm in town.
Okay, next Wednesday's article is let me find it because I was going to do it today, but I wanted to make sure we did the one from last week. Next week's article is really going to be good. It talks about next Wednesday top five reasons why 700 pastors quit before retirement.
Wow.
Listen. Now I know people start talking about that.
Right.
We don't need to see that article.
Yeah, I'm just saying. We can
just,
use it, but we'll add to it. Oh, absolutely.
Can,
so that's next
we
week.
Can go on
that's
down.
Next Wisdom Wednesday. So we definitely going to make sure we do that. But real quick, man, and I don't want to dwell on it too long, but I was talking to one of the family members last night, and the guy says, it's unfortunate that it takes things like this to put stuff in perspective.
Right.
And he says it makes you look around and you wonder, what are we doing all this other stuff for? What does all this other stuff even really matter at the end of the day?
Wow.
And you have to, it makes you, you know, one of the things is, one of the good things, if you can take any bright light out of this or silver lining out of this, is that when people transition, you know that they knew the Lord.
Amen.
You're still sad, but you know when you know in your heart that they knew the Lord, it's different when you like, oh Lord, you know, you're like I hope they got it together before they
hope.
Yeah. But when you knew somebody knew the Lord, then you can be comfortable in their transition, knowing that you know that they're only gonna sleep for a little while because you know when the time comes, everybody gonna get up. Everybody that's in Christ gonna get up. So. Here's a question. I want to ask this question. I got two pastors in the room and put y'all on the spot. I know I didn't plan it because it wasn't the way it worked. So when you're doing, there's this statement that's made at funerals all the time. You know what I'm finna say?
Be absent from the body.
Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Mama going to heaven. Daddy going to heaven. Daddy getting all this. No, okay. See, both of y'all shaking y'all heads, so I'm assuming I'm finna get some agreement. What's your thoughts on that? Because it's a comforting thing, but is it biblical and is it scriptural? Because go ahead.
You go first.
No, that scripture does not pertain to death.
Okay, come on.
If you look at what Paul was saying, it don't have anything to do with death. And what we do as in funerals, we try to fit stuff in there just to make it seem comforting to the people.
Right.
Number one, even when a person die, their body don't automatic transition.
Right. Come
from
on.
One place to another.
Yeah, they sleep.
They go to a holding place.
They sleep.
It's sleep.
They
it's,
just sleep.
It's in a holding place until the second coming of Christ.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Cardinal?
I think the, and especially we work for funeral homes.
Mm-hmm.
The late Bishop D. Rayford Bell at Christ Temple Apostolic Church.
Okay.
Okay. Would stand up and say at every funeral, eternity is too long. Heaven is too pretty for you to die and go to hell.
Okay.
He would also say, you can't work for Ford and get a check from General Motors.
Ooh,
that's right.
Okay. Gotcha.
I got that.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And those of us who understood, like, okay, we knew it. Because one of the things at funerals, we're trying to help the family to know that they are present with the Lord. And that's a lie.
Yeah.
It is.
That's, come on. Tell the truth.
But now, first of all, if you ain't lived worth nothing, we know where you're going.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's the
right
question.
Right.
That's no
common sense. But either way, you still sleep.
You still
right, because the judgment has to come.
The judgment
right
has to come.
Because the Bible says, blessed are they who die in the Lord.
In the Lord.
Right.
You know, we weep, as the Bible said, we weep like those that, we're not like those who have no hope.
Mm-hmm.
We have hope, you know. So, no, we just, you know, that's just what we call it, very funeralistic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think it's just, it's a lie.
It's unfortunate, and it's one of those things where I think teaching, when you are really teaching your people, you no longer have to say those statements,
right?
Because it turns out to be it's a falsehood when you say it, and you don't say it to mislead people.
Mm-hmm.
You say it to comfort them, but you can't comfort people with a lie.
Right.
There's other scriptures,
yeah,
that you can use,
mm-hmm,
and to be confident in that time and that hour.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the problems, and you know, if pastors listening,
mm-hmm,
might get in a little trouble. However, they unlearned.
Oh, well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
and some stuff. We quote what we heard, not what we read.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because if we would have read it for ourselves,
mm-hmm,
there's something that comes before it,
mm-hmm,
and there's something that comes after it.
Yeah. Right.
And that's how we misinterpret scripture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we don't observe the text. You got to be able to observe the text and understand what is the text saying in,
yeah,
in that particular context.
Mm-hmm.
And we context, and we as men and women of God need to learn to read thoroughly,
mm-hmm,
and get understanding out,
mm-hmm,
of it. Because just because it sounds familiar, I think I said this Monday, how I was walking, I was going to doing a funeral,
mm-hmm,
and I seen unbelievers quoting the 23rd number of Psalms.
Right with you, right.
Right with me.
Mm-hmm.
They wasn't saved, but they know it,
mm-hmm,
right,
because they heard this,
yeah,
over.
Or they got tattoos.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Right hand, right.
Yeah.
Hand.
Yeah. And so many people that stand up before the people, they quote those scriptures, and they can't just to trip that part.
Mm-hmm.
You never hear people say where it's from.
Yeah, they just quote it.
They just quote it.
Yeah. You know, the other thing is, and it's, again, it's not to, I'm not trying to. It's just I think it's our job is to make sure we people have an honest and good understanding of stuff. When people are saying, you know, when people pass away, and you know, you see all these RIPs or RIHs now, rest in heaven, and all this other thing. I think there needs to be an understanding of you know, everybody. Even, you know, I wholeheartedly believe that my great grandmama is going to heaven, but I believe my great grandmama is still asleep.
All right. I agree.
I'm just saying.
And everybody else.
I wholeheartedly believe she's going.
Gotcha.
But right now, I still believe she's asleep.
Gotcha.
Right.
And I think that we need to I think we need to get to a point in our growth,
uh-huh,
that we start to educate our children. Now the adults, they've been miseducated.
Yeah.
But we need to educate our children.
Yes.
Because watch this: if your children start to read and read for understanding, they're gonna start to understand. Well, wait a minute, the Bible don't say that.
Right. Right.
The
right.
Bible don't say that right. Grandmama went to heaven. The Bible right. say Grandmama sleep, but I know Grandmama knew the Lord, so I know where she gonna go when it's time to get up.
Yeah.
Well, you know where the enlightenment period starts.
Come on.
With us.
Yeah.
The enlightenment period, when it comes, the changing of the mind,
mm-hmm,
is when you go to college and start taking a world religion class,
mm-hmm,
and you start
Bible
questioning.
Culture.
Oh, when you start questioning,
yeah. Yeah.
This whole question thought about who God is and what God is and all of this. Mm-hmm. I mean, it bothers me. And that's why students sometimes come back home from college their first semester or second semester talking about, I ain't going to church.
And then also don't let them go to a Bible college.
Oh, Jesus,
yeah,
Christ. Or liberal arts college, right? But yeah. you have to take
a theology
yes.
class, Bible
yes.
and culture, Western
yes.
civilization,
yes.
and you know that stuff. It opens up a canvas that they never heard before,
mm-hmm.
and what happens? It causes them to be rebellious because
yes. Yes.
they feel what they've been taught for so long is inaccurate.
Yes,
and so we as a people, and this is the part that. I believe as the church fault is that we don't teach it enough. Even that this should be taught in counseling. Mm-hmm.
I agree.
And a lot of people don't understand that they have these Christian counseling association
mm-hmm.
that is a 12 to 16 week course
yeah.
that you should take your leaders in this, because sometimes the pastor can't do it all.
Yeah.
And right. what happens through this 12 to 16 week course, and I talked to Pastor Storrs about this,
mm-hmm.
it give them certification
mm-hmm.
of this course. And truth of the matter, they might be sharper than the pastor in that field.
Very much so.
Because they went through the cert and they certified. And now they are considered counselors in that field.
Yeah.
And so here it is. We, as a people, we just want to, I don't want to see that say that we intentionally sending people off
mm-hmm.
because some people don't know themselves. They just giving people what they've been taught. And it comes to the point that you got to learn and you got to study to show that self-approval.
And again, it's not that it's an intentional
right.
It's not intentional
exactly.
to mislead anybody.
Yeah.
It's not knowing truly how to comfort
exactly.
them.
Exactly.
So we go with what we've been told
yeah.
and what we've heard. So, but yeah, we're going to move on. We're going to move on. I just wanted to clear. I like to give, you know, when we have an opportunity to teach, I think we should.
Yeah.
Every opportunity to teach is a teaching moment. So much stuff is going on. So there's still some, we talked about it on Monday. You weren't here. Some of the Steve Harvey
yeah.
backlash from meeting with Trump.
Well, you know what? I still haven't gotten to the bottom of this.
Well, apparently he released another statement yesterday because someone released, actually, I believe it's, I'm still trying to understand this name, Thomas Pastor Ladybug. Yeah. Sent me a message
Pastor
asking,
okay.
yeah, Thomas Pastor Ladybug, sent me this message saying, asking us, did we hear his, statements from V103 on yesterday.
No, I didn't.
Well,
hear
first
it.
Of all, take me back. To
okay, so he met with
yeah.
Donald Trump. Was it Monday or over the weekend?
I think it was over the weekend.
Over the weekend, he whatever it was, he had a meeting with Donald Trump in Trump Tower.
Right.
There's some question about was he invited? Did he just show up at the tower? Whatever it was, but he had a meeting with Donald Trump at the tower. When he came out of the meeting, He looked like he was shocked that the cameras was down there waiting.
Okay.
But I don't know how you can be shocked when cameras. This is the president elect. Why cameras follow him everywhere he go? He looked like he was shocked when he came out of the meeting, and then he said some stuff about what they talked about, and
right.
he mentioned that they talked about golf because they're both golfers, and you know Trump owns a couple of golf courses, and
okay.
and then they talked about urban development, and he was so impressed with the fact that Donald went and called Ben Carson. Donald called Ben Carson, who is his person for, yeah, exactly, his person for urban development, and how sincere he thought Donald Trump was. So, of course, black folk was enraged with the fact that he sat down with him. I didn't have a problem with him sitting down with him. I don't like the, and again, let me make sure I'm clear. Oh, it's Pastor Ladybug Thomas. Thomas is my last name. Okay. All
hi.
Right.
Tell
all right, Pastor Ladybug hi. Thomas. Hello. I've been corrected. So one of the things that is for me, I don't care that he went and sat down. The question a lot of people came up with is, why are you picking the people that you're picking to come sit down?
Well, you know why.
Because you got LeBron, you asked LeBron to come.
Okay.
You asked Kanye West to come.
LeBron didn't go.
LeBron didn't go. But you asked Kanye to come. Kanye went. It was somebody else before Steve Obviously. It was
Dr. Martin Luther King.
Yesterday, MLK the third went. On King Day.
Well, you know why Steve Harvey was asked to come. Because believe it or not, Steve is picking up the Oprah audience, so to speak.
Okay.
Class.
Oh, okay.
Okay, let me say this now.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm
going to let
y'all
go ahead.
Steve put it that he wasn't asked to come. Steve put it like he showed up.
Yeah.
And they found out, and Trump found out he was there.
Yeah.
And called him up.
At
yeah.
the Trump Tower?
Yeah.
At Trump Tower. Yeah.
Now, why would you just. So something don't even sound right.
Did he go pee pee?
He just went to Trump Tower, right?
That's
number one. How did you know he was there?
Who?
Trump. Steve. You had a Steve. Just all of a sudden, out of every place in the world, you just want to go to Trump Tower.
Well, you know, if you see them big black Escalades outside.
My point exactly. So it sounded like to me that was intentional.
And again, I don't know where the Steve Harvey show is broadcast from in New York. I do know it's in New York.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where.
I thought it was here. No, it's in New York.
The radio show is in New York.
Okay.
So I don't know where. Yeah, the radio show is not here in Chicago. It's you hear it here, but okay. It's not. They're not downtown at GC at the building.
You're not
at
Oak Park anymore.
That's V103. You mean?
Right.
No, he's not in Oak Park. He's never right. been. He's never
where,
physically broadcasted his show from
where
here.
Where is his show? Show? Where is his television show from? Is it
the
here?
Television show was here.
It was.
But it's no longer. But once it's done, it's done. Because this is his last season.
Oh, is it?
Yes. And then he's moving to LA, and he's gonna do something different.
Okay. So, and then if I'm right, which I know, help me, my New Yorkers,
mm-hmm.
where he films it is nowhere near the Trump Tower. Help me, New Yorkers.
No, his radio station, where he does the radio show, is in New York, downtown New York,
yeah,
somewhere in Manhattan.
Not, right,
I don't
not,
know where.
That, I mean, it's too.
Yeah.
It's just like Oak Park and Hyde Park. I mean, seriously.
Lil Fah.
Yeah.
Because V103's broadcasting antenna and stuff is right here in Oak Park Avenue at that hotel, the senior home.
Senior home.
I don't know if they actually do any shows from up there. I think that's just where all the equipment is.
I thought he was.
No, he's never physically been here and done his show.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Because that's why there was such a and we don't want to get off track, sure. But there was such a lot of local people didn't like Steve when they started broadcasting his show here because they were like, well, he ain't even in Chicago.
Gotcha.
But because his show was national.
Syndicated, yeah.
And syndicated, you know, I mean, Tom Joyner ain't been to Chicago who knows how long. His show was still here.
Well, he was here, though. But
He started here. Right,
yeah.
Right.
But now, the thing about it is that where all of the things are coming up
yes.
is that, first of all, Ben Carson is a doctor. He knows nothing.
And he's a medical doctor. Let's make sure we say that, too. He's not someone, he's not a psychiatrist or a psychologist or any of that.
He doesn't have a doctorate in urban renewal or anything like that.
No.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
But now I don't know if you all. And while we're on the subject, did you all listen to the young lady that's supposed to be taking over?
I want to move past Steve Harvey before we get to that. And
okay.
Then, yes. So you finish that, then we're gonna jump right to that woman.
And then, but now Steve is not from here, is he? He's from Cleveland. From Cleveland.
Cleveland. Yeah, he's from the land. Cleveland.
He's from Cleveland.
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 Yeah. Not
so
Cleveland, Mississippi, but Cleveland, Ohio.
Cleveland, Ohio. So why is he talking about urban development in Chicago?
Well, he says, at the press conference, he says, we talked about Detroit and we talked about Chicago because of all the violence.
Right.
Because there's Detroit and Chicago, and we talked about the violence. Now, some questions came up from people asking, well, Steve, did you seek out President Obama? In the last 8 years,
right.
about the violence, or at least in the last four.
Urban development.
Let's just talk about the last four. Because the violence has gotten worse in the last four.
Right.
Did you seek him out? Now, I don't know if he did or not. I mean, I don't remember ever seeing anything. Because I think we would have saw a news clip, an item, an article, some photo op, something with the president and Steve meeting.
Yes.
Okay. You know, yes. And I don't know if was the president ever on his show. I don't think he's on Steve Harvey's show. And was he ever on? Was Michelle on Steve? No.
No.
I didn't think so.
And
I know they did Ellen.
And I don't know if he got the invite. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? I don't know if he got the invite.
Mm-hmm.
And but now, let's talk about before he was President Obama, was there an invite when he was Senator Obama? I don't remember Steve because I don't think Steve.
He didn't have the TV show then.
No, he had the radio show.
He had the radio show, but again, he did call in to the radio show. He's been on several times.
As president.
Okay. As president. Yes, he has. Yes, he has. Yes, he has.
And maybe his timing or whatever. But because I think as it relates to talk shows or what have you, being on the set, that Obama has been on.
He's been on numerous shows. But never on Steve's.
Right.
You know, I guess my thing with Steve and it's too many red flags that have came up in his meeting with Trump.
Okay.
Number one, you went to a meeting that pretty much said uninvited.
It sounds like that.
We don't have no proof of that, but that's what it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
Then you come saying you meet with him in regards to urban community development,
mm-hmm.
which you could have taken a stand before. Now, I do know just recently – he's partnering with Corey Brooks. Corey Brooks doing his thing on the South Side, and Corey going to Steve Camp.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Steve take a group of young men to camp every February. So Corey Brooks is partnering him with him on that matter.
Mm-hmm.
But what tier have you went to try to help stop the violence with, as far as our politicians, President Obama, that was the number one red flag. Now all of a sudden you saying that Trump has a heart to fix our communities.
Mm-hmm.
That's what came out of your mouth, that you believe that he have a heart for our community.
And he's
willing to try to do whatever he can to fix.
And I mean, what in his, and here is a question. And I would ask this of any politician. I don't care, Republican, Democrat, Independent, whoever, Libertarian, I don't care. What does your past record show before you got into politics that you were concerned? I know, right? That you were concerned about the community. What has Donald Trump's past record showed you that he was concerned about urban development? Because every place that he's building his map, because I mean, you want to impress me? All this vacant lots over here on the west side of Chicago, build one. You built Trump Tower downtown in the heart of the Magnificent Mile area.
Now I'm gonna say this, okay? I don't even expect Trump to do that.
I don't either, but I'm just saying.
Now this is what I expect: those who woofing, and that's what we used to call it.
Yes, woofing.
Those who are woofing.
Yeah, got a woof ticket. Yeah.
What are you going to do? You know, you got the capital. You have the name, you have the ability to make things happen.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what makes Steve look bad, because Steve has a name. Number one, if Steve have a following, one of the biggest following in the United States of America.
Yeah.
It's called women.
Yeah, that's
there
true.
You go.
That's
there you
true.
Go.
That's
it's
true.
Called
the money
women.
Is. They don't even sign it, but the money is.
I'm
money
keeping
is.
It 100.
Yeah.
He won the women hearts when he came with this think like a man type stuff.
Right.
Yep, that's true.
And if you listen to his talk show, the letter, whatever, the
strawberry
letter,
yeah.
Everything he says and does is geared towards women.
Mm-hmm. That's who spends the money.
That's my point.
Yes.
So now he has an audience that's following him. Now, are you being abusive in a way that you didn't touch him, you didn't verbally, but you emotionally and mentally abusing this following, because now you're being deceitful. That's how it's coming out.
That's how it appears.
That's how it appears. Now you might not didn't have that that mentality. You might thought that okay, I can skeet in and skeet out.
For lack of better terms.
Yeah.
Dana, come back this way. Bring your mind.
You probably
all hip hop.
I mean, I'm serious. He probably had a mindset. Nobody gonna see me. But TMZ. TMZ is everywhere.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
They follow me.
Me three.
Listen, let me say this. TMZ is everywhere. Don't you know that them people gonna find out where you are? You cannot hide from TMZ.
Yeah.
They worse than the Holy Spirit.
Everywhere I go.
Everywhere
I go.
You can't hide from them people, man. And they gonna catch you when you least expect it.
And I think also we talk about urban renewal, because now our Pope on the end is a member of the Omega Brethren.
Here we go.
Okay. No. And on a serious note, and Omegas are thick here in Chicago.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
So what about you coming to the Omegas and saying, brothers, I'm going to give this amount back to the renew. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I think it's like you said, it's your track record.
It's your past track record. I mean, I know he's done a lot of stuff. His camp in Texas is amazing. I've read and heard about it, where he takes this boys with single mothers. They're invited down, and they have this, what I think it's a week or so they spend down in Texas. I heard it's absolutely amazing. And when he said that, that was one of the other red flags when Steve said, well, he knows about my camp. So it's like, okay, is this, because you don't need Donald's money for your camp, but I'm assuming Donald probably going to write a little check, you know.
Okay, let's go deeper. So yesterday, there was a meeting with pastors.
Okay.
And their meeting, they come together. It was on the news, so I could talk about it.
You were there?
No. I got the invite.
Oh.
I just didn't go.
Okay.
But it was a meeting with pastors at
TriStone.
That Leaders Network thing?
No,
this was separate from
this. This is on the South Side.
Okay.
That I didn't get.
Okay. So I got the invite.
Okay.
However, I seen the clippings on the news, and then I got a report.
Okay.
So what it is, clergy throughout the city of Chicago, state of Illinois, African-Americans are trying to...
You got a question. You got a question. It was clergy now. It's not just pastors.
Pastors, clergy, however you want to put
it.
I
ain't get one
either. Yeah.
Go ahead.
So...
don't feel like
they met at Tridstone and bishops, apostles, all you name them. And
bishops and apostles, no cardinals was allowed.
I guess so.
That's why you wasn't there. Go ahead.
Yeah, popes was there.
No, but no pope.
However,
that's how they got invited. They were apostles.
Right.
Go ahead.
They trying to come with, they wrote, Bishop Dukes wrote President-elect Trump a letter asking, is it possible that the clergy can have a meeting with him? So they all came together yesterday in a meeting, and I don't know if they're trying to work on a black agenda or what have you, but it's appealing to President-elect Trump to sit down and have a meeting, which I don't believe that is going to happen. One, I'm going to be honest with you. The way that he brainwashing everybody to have a meeting with him, I don't want to go in there. It seemed like everybody who come out seemed like, let's give him a chance. Dr. Martin Luther King III, his son, he came out. If you listen to his interview, he said, I think we should just go ahead and give him a chance. Kanye West, whatever his name is, hey, give him a chance.
Did you call that man Kanye?
Whatever his name is, man.
Okay, go
listen,
ahead.
Listen.
Kanye West.
Steve Harvey went in there and the same results. Brainwashed. T.I. kind of he put it in a way that I was like, wow, short, sweet, to the point. He said that Trump is hitting all type of people that got a certain type of following.
Yes.
That he would get everyone together. He put West because he got the hip hop culture. He picked Steve Harvey because he got the women. Then he picked Dr. Martin Luther King's son, because he got the... And then if you look at John, when John did a speech, John was telling the people, stand up. He, at the Dr. Martin Luther King day, stand up. You have a right. If you see something that's not right, you don't have to go with it.
That's right.
You have a right to voice your opinion.
Absolutely.
And the way and it wasn't that he was kicking so much against Trump, he was standing for righteousness.
He was talking about the legitimacy. When the whole thing came out about the legitimacy
of his president.
Being president.
Exactly.
Right.
Because according to the popular vote,
not. Legally, as they're now saying, I think I was watching one of those channels, they said, legally, he is the president-elect.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying, legally.
Legally.
But not by,
So what John was saying was, because, again, the Trump was also talking about the legitimacy of Barack Obama.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, all of this. So it's just, I mean, what he did was he turned it around. But then I have to also look at the temper tantrums that Trump does. So you're going to get on Twitter and you're going to say all of this against him and talk about his area, this, that, blah, 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 blah. Now, you have to be careful because, and I think someone needs to get him and say, hey, you think to be the president. You need to shut up.
Man, listen. You know, I was talking to you, Dana. We was talking about his press secretary.
Yeah.
That she got the hardest job in the world.
Yes.
Because this man would put something down at 12 o'clock.
Yep.
And then come back at 4 o'clock in the morning. That's definitely contradicted for what he's already said.
Mm-hmm.
Now she got to come back and clean up all of that.
Every time.
Now, truth be told, he's getting ready to give America what they want to see.
Listen, the Ringling Bell and Bottom of Baby Circus is closing up.
Yes.
That's because he's going to be in the White House.
That's
going to be the greatest show on earth.
It is. And you know, it's going to be a funny, sad situation. A lot of people are going to be laughing at it because it's comical. But in the same token, America is going to be hurting from this.
Yes.
Last thing on this Trump thing. Yesterday it was all over the news. His education secretary, his choice for education secretary. Yeah, I saw. Yeah, Betsy DeVos is her name.
And she's a Democrat.
No, she's not a Democrat.
She is for privatized schools.
She wants to privatize all schools. She wants to get rid of public schools.
Period.
Really?
Yeah.
She wants to privatize public. She wants to get rid of public schools. And now, mind you, she has never been in the classroom in her life. She's never been a teacher.
Wow.
She's never been not even right. She wasn't even an attendance take. She wasn't even a lunchroom lady. She ain't never been in
a
school.
Ain't got no green bean.
Right.
Man, I said this before. I believe CPS gonna be gone within the next 10 years.
Well, this woman is when they were questioning her, they were asking her stuff that she did not have a inkling.
Listen,
as to what she was talking
stuff
about.
Stuff that us as right here
would know.
I mean, literally.
Yeah.
That we would know because when he got to the thing about growth
and proficiency.
And proficiency.
Right.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. And the senator said, he said, how can you not know this? And glaringly people were saying, even some of the Republicans was like, uh-oh.
Wow.
This ain't
Wow. I mean, seriously, and she
because here's the issue. Those people who voted for Donald Trump in those rural America areas, as Sarah Palin called them back when she was running, the real America.
Real America.
Yeah. All y'all got is public school.
That's it.
Yeah.
All y'all got is public school.
Because all of y'all go to – because down south.
Right.
A whole area.
That's it.
Go to one school.
Yeah. And so y'all need to be real careful. And I think that's why some of the Republicans tried to pull back yesterday because they go, wait a minute, this is going to affect my district. And they got to vote, still vote for me.
Because
what you're going to have happen is this. You're going to get the backlash. You're going to get the Trump backlash in 4 years like they got the Obama backlash in 2012 when we didn't show up.
Right.
Once again, part of our issues, and if I could speak to black folk, part of our issue is we did not show up to vote. And Obama said this in his speech the other night. He said one of the biggest things that he saw was the fact that, over 20 million people didn't even vote.
20 million.
Didn't even show up to vote. That's the election right there.
Yeah.
Either way.
Yeah.
And then watch this. In Michigan, Hillary lost Michigan by 10,000 votes. They found out that 100,000 black folk didn't even
vote
in Michigan.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
And listen, if 10% of them would have went to vote.
Yeah. Right.
So let me ask this question, too. I don't want us to overlook this.
Come on.
This new sexual assault
harassment charges
going against
Trump.
Yeah.
Is it new or is it old?
No,
or they finally coming to
yesterday.
No, it's new.
Oh,
this one new.
Okay.
They had it live.
Okay.
Yeah, this was live yesterday. So
okay.
She will file charges after
he's president.
He's president.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now my question is.
Yeah, because he's not exempt, as we found out when Clinton was president.
Yeah.
He's not exempt from having to come and testify at court.
My point is exactly.
Yeah.
But you're not even in office yet.
Well, some people have already said they don't. Some people actually believe that we're gonna definitely move on. Some people actually believe that he won't even make it out of 4 years. They believe he's gonna be impeached.
I believe so. I give him.
And the full impeachment, not the Clinton, you know, for show impeachment. Right. The for real, you got to go.
And but now I want us to be careful. I smell a war coming.
Oh, don't be shocked.
Yeah.
I smell a war coming.
Don't be shocked. The way he talked, the way he insulted people.
Because let's face it. Let's look at it. We have not had a Republican in office that did not start a war. Especially if either Bush didn't do anything. Bush Sr.
Yeah.
Because he was so, you know.
He wasn't in there long enough. Had he been in them last four.
Yeah.
Had he got them last four.
When he said he wasn't going to raise taxes.
Yeah.
And he had to.
Yeah.
Bye.
Right, right.
He started hurting.
Yeah.
But look back over it.
Yeah,
but Bush Jr. That was a war. Even with Ronald Reagan was the Iran-Contra hearings. We had a problem with we were settling that.
Yeah,
so look at it.
We sold weapons to Iran and Iraq and to keep Iraq out of Iran or to keep Iran out of Iraq and one of the two. I'm probably getting them confused. And them same very weapons was what they were using against us when we went over there.
Yeah. So therefore. So now, just look at it. So, all right, we're going to move on.
Yeah, we're going to move on. Anyway, y'all, look, we've been having a good conversation. Hopefully, I hope we ain't bore y'all too much with this. She says, Ladybug says, it's not a follower of Steve. I'm a follower of Christ. You guys made me listen to Steve. I was listening to your show. Love you, whatever. I was listening to your show. Oh, okay. We made her listen to Steve because she heard what we said. All right. Let me make sure I speak to the people in the room on Facebook. I'm so sorry. My good buddy. Wait a minute. Cornelius Parks. How you joined? You watching the thing on your phone? I thought that was Cornelius King. How you in? Okay, never mind. It says Cornelius Parks joined. Make sure anybody got your Facebook account. Because it said you joined.
I'm Jared.
Hello, Yolanda, Dana Miller, Fernanda Grigsby. God bless you. All right. Hello, Pastor. She says Marissa Williams says sing Pastor Henderson. You don't have to. Marissa,
long ago.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Marissa Williams says hello, everyone. Blessed Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah.
Willie Langfoot said hello, man of God.
Hello, Willie.
Dana Miller says hello, Pastor Henderson.
Bless your bones.
Marissa
tonight.
Williams says Pack. Yolanda King says condolences to the Coleman Goss family. Cornelius King did join. How you doing, Reverend Cornelius King? Hope you're feeling better, sir. Brenda Jones says, wow, what does that matter? I think that's what we were talking about, the funeral thing. And that's where we are right now. Now, the rest of y'all in the room, y'all ain't speaking. Y'all just in there. Hit the share button. Look, y'all, we're going to take a real quick break. When we come back, we're going to jump into today's conversation. Maybe have one other item we want to talk about. But then we're going to jump right into today's conversation. We're going to give y'all some old school, some real old school right
Thanks
now.
Lord.
Right? Some of this old school.
Thank Jesus.
Be grateful.
Yes.
Y'all be ready to Hawkins. We'll be right back, y'all. TTLO. Your mic, all that beatboxing and stuff going on over there.
All that shit on the
right. I'm glad. Anyway, y'all are listening. It is Wisdom Wednesday. We're having a good time in the studio with my brothers in ministry, the pastor from the Second Baptist Church in the Grange on the end down there, the one, the only pastor, the good cardinal, Michael Bernard Henderson, and him in the middle here. Well, him on the end with a good Mo House shirt on over there, short shirt, and then the one in the middle here, we just gonna call him for today, the Great Pumpkin, in the middle over here.
I'm going to let them have their way today.
Well, you don't want to roll that pumpkin shirt up in here.
I'm not talking about James the Giant Peach. I'm talking about all these ways to the pay. So many ways to get seasick.
First of all, that is not peach. I don't know my colors, but I know it ain't peach.
I'm going to let them have their way.
It's urge. It's urge.
If you can't say a word.
Thank you, Clemson.
You're Clemson. It's like you're rooting for Clemson.
Heck, you know, I'm roll tied.
Oh, okay. I'm just checking. I'm just roll tied.
You know what? It's interesting you said about this Morehouse.
Yeah.
Because I went to eat breakfast on my way here. I thought I was hungry as a hostage at M&P Kitchen.
He hungry. Yeah. Go ahead.
M&P Kitchen right across the street from the McDonald's on Madison.
Oh, and just plain.
Yeah. Very good.
Really?
Very good.
On the west side of Des Plaines?
No. Come, you know where the McDonald's is on Des Plaines and Madison?
Yes.
Right across the street. It's called M&P Kitchen.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Is it on Des Plaines or is it on Madison?
It's on Madison.
Mm-hmm. Is it on the corner?
No, come down a little
bit. Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay. And it's called M&P Kitchen?
Yes. Very good.
Really?
Yeah. Very good. And let me
get with our resident food expert, Tanya. What do you know about the M&P Kitchen in Des Plaines? Because I don't know nothing about it. I ain't heard nothing about it.
And the young girl said Morehouse College.
Uh-huh.
I mean, she was a Anglican. I never heard of that college before. I said, okay. I said, yes, very historical black-owned male college in Atlanta, Georgia.
Uh-huh.
You went there? Yes. Yes, I did.
Uh-huh. She did. She.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. Okay. So if I'm going to put on Dartmouth. Oh, I know about Dartmouth.
Or Duke.
Right.
Right. You came in with Duke on.
Harvard.
Yeah, Harvard, Yale. Mind you, listen while we're talking about this.
Yes, go ahead.
Dr. Iona Locke. I don't know if you're is going to do some symposiums at Yale and at Princeton, I think it is.
Oh.
Real soon.
Chauncey used to go there.
Chauncey?
Chauncey.
Went to Yale or Princeton.
Yeah.
Real quick, before we jump into today's article, Betrayal and Rejection, any words on Bishop Eddie Long? We get to talk to you on Monday.
You know what? It. Listen, let me say this. Number one, we don't know what went on with that man.
Right.
That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I read a horrible article that talked about it's not dead because they're still saying, in a sense, that the man was a predator.
Yeah, even after the scandal, they're
even
saying.
Even after
yeah.
that he was a predator.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't sleep with him.
That's good to know, Mike.
Praise the Lord. I went, hey. I mean, seriously. But now, here is my problem.
Mm-hmm.
Who am going pastor down there?
Yeah.
Because even though that he's gone and the boys have lost their dad,
mm-hmm.
she's lost her husband.
Now, his sons weren't preaching, were they?
No.
But
a congregation.
Mm-hmm.
has lost their
leader.
He was not a leader because of his preaching ability.
No,
that's right.
No. He well, built the business of new birth.
I'm going to say this. Whoever go there, they be in the best situation ever.
Oh, well, yeah.
This man had his business.
Yeah, so yeah. The bill to pay for.
Oh, well, yeah, been paid for.
But I mean.
Everything, the campus.
They not in, and not, this might sound harsh.
Mm-hmm.
But because of his debt,
mm-hmm.
they probably far greater.
His yeah. debt, yeah. Because yeah.
Lucratively.
Yeah.
But now the thing about it is that church, how many people does House of Hope seat?
10.
His church seats 10.
Yeah, at least, but, I think it's between 9 and 10. Yeah.
But it's a church.
Oh, it ain't a gym, yeah.
Ain't no gym to church.
Yeah, because House of Hope kind of looks like a, no shade to Pastor Meeks and them, but it doesn't look like a church.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a church.
You could do concert. He don't do concerts and all that at his church like that.
Eddie Long?
No secular concerts.
No.
At House of Hope, you can do all
you can
that.
Do what, yeah.
That's,
yeah.
That was
and
their purpose.
That's the purpose of, because that's because they're looking at
multi-purpose building.
Yeah. There's multi-purpose
yeah.
building yeah. versus just being a sanctuary.
He has additional multi-purpose
yeah.
building.
Yeah, right. I've been.
Oh, okay.
I've
yeah,
been.
That's right.
I've been to New Birth.
Yeah.
I went there for 2 years.
And you know, he really built his ministry on, he built New Birth on ministry.
On ministry. Always outdoors.
Always.
Always.
Yeah, but then look at it now. The caliber of children and college students that were going to school then
yeah.
ain't going now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay? I mean, so someone's going to have to be up above and beyond dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were talking about Victor Curry going, but Victor Curry had a stroke.
That's true.
William Murphy has started his own.
Yeah.
And I don't know William Murphy. I don't know
their relationship now.
Take it now?
I don't know what was their relationship.
I don't either. And I don't know if he would be able to hold the culture. Because New Birth children,
mm-hmm.
for those of you that don't know,
mm-hmm.
and you can be with me,
yeah.
was a whole culture.
It was. It was that taking authority, which is what
literally.
It was called. They meant that.
They hated on him, but I found out something. And I'm gonna take my shirt off at this in words to my brother. What he did was he became the modern-day Daddy Grace.
Mm.
Wow.
That makes sound kind of shady.
Okay.
Let me give it to you.
Help us out who, right. Daddy, who Daddy Grace
right.
was.
Daddy Grace is the church that you all see, the Church of All Days for All God's People.
Okay.
Okay, back in the day, Daddy Grace rose to power during the Depression because what he did was he helped put those people in homes.
Mm-hmm.
Helped the nearest church we know of is on – he has a church on – State Street.
Okay.
You see it with them eagles flying out of it. But it's real big down south and
mm-hmm.
real big up north. He fed them during the Depression for free.
Yep.
He got them out of debt,
mm-hmm.
put them in buildings, did all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what, and I know, I don't know if you ever been to one of the services, Eddie Long will shut up and say, who needs a job?
Mm-hmm.
Here we come from.
Yep.
How many of you all right here, sitting right here, are at the place where you can give them a job?
Right. Yep.
Come up here.
Yep.
All right. Who needs a car?
Yep.
Yep.
How many of you all got two or three cars that y'all ain't using? Come on up here.
Yep.
Bring them keys.
Yep.
He was in. No, yep. We say whatever we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
He was empowering the people.
That's true. That's what that. And
he
and
empowered the people.
Exactly. And that's again for whatever you want to think about whatever.
That's preaching.
Blah.
But yeah.
You know what though? He was a great teacher.
Yeah.
Yes.
Preaching, he was an awesome teacher. I was telling Pastor Parks on Monday. I've been to two Manpower conferences where he was on those, and his teaching was like
phenomenal.
And could teach men.
Yes.
Could teach men. Yeah.
Now, sometimes he will say something. I'm like, no. Really.
Yeah, I wanted to give you an opportunity to say that because you hadn't been here.
Yeah, because,
so
I mean, my prayer is that we let him alone.
We put in my application.
Pray for his sons.
Yeah, pray for his sons.
Both of them in ministry, but one is more solid than the other.
Yes.
Now, New Birth was organized. And so
No.
Was it New Birth at first?
No. Let's go back.
Come on.
Because a lot of people don't know the story.
Come on. You got 3 minutes. Go.
Okay, I got 3 minutes. Okay. New Birth was first called Pilgrim.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
At that particular time, the pastor there then was Ken Samuels.
Okay.
Okay. He got into a little trouble and Ken Samuels had to go up north. But you know all where Ray of Hope is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All of that. Mm-hmm. That was New Birth, but that was Ken Samuels doing
mm-hmm.
all of that. Okay. So because Eddie Long was pastoring a small Baptist church down there in Stockbridge, way out yonder somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the name New Birth became because of him.
Yeah,
so he branded it and he made it into what have you. So he was not the founding, but now we don't know if it's to his church. Nah, we're not sure.
Exactly.
But anyway. I don't think his sons will not have the momentum.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No. And then I heard some people say maybe his wife, but
no.
Right. Yeah. So
because Atlanta's still
exactly.
Old school. Still
Cynthia
Georgia.
Hale, Cynthia Hale is still the only queen that sits up with her crown right here.
I want to send some encouragement. One thing I watched a clip this morning,
mm-hmm.
and it messed me up. It was from last year, I believe March or May. When he got up and he was ministering to the people. Matter of fact, it was February,
mm-hmm.
February 14th. And I guess it was they loved Dave because everyone had on red.
Mm-hmm.
He was just giving testimony on why he's still here,
mm-hmm.
why he's still able.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it wasn't because of the scriptures. It wasn't because of him doing so well, but it was because of you. And he pointed out to the people,
mm-hmm.
yeah. you didn't judge me. You,
mm-hmm.
you still accepted me. Regardless of what the social media put out there about me, you still came. You still here. And, you know, I think that was so heartfelt because all the people just started bombarding the altar. They
mm-hmm.
started coming up there just praying over him.
Yeah.
And sometimes as men of God, it's not the scriptures that keep us.
Yeah.
It's our servanthood.
Yeah.
It's the people we're doing this for.
Yeah.
And when I seen that, it encouraged me too as an individual because I told you I'm in my last year, my contract,
mm-hmm.
and – you know, you don't know which direction you really want to go, but at the end of the day, it's the people that we're able to serve. It's the people that support us in the most unusual ways that mm-hmm. we never thought. And you said something so key that a lot of people didn't know. Everybody that was on his staff, this man sent them to the BMW dealership, Mercedes-Benz dealership, got them new cars and all this stuff. All this through the ministry. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He have empowered the people in that whole community, in that whole city of Atlanta. And, you know, this is a major, major loss for the entire body of Christ.
Yes.
No matter how people look at what took place in the old.
Yes.
He still was God's anointed.
That's right.
Because even though all that he lost,
mm-hmm.
he still, I just talked to one of his wife's alma bearers that used to live in Chicago. Now she's out there. They still would see an average of 9,000 people
mm-hmm.
each Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So for him to, even though he had 25 at first, but even for him to still have 9,000, that's still a lot.
Can I get 10% of those?
Man,
can
my point
900?
Is
can you get 900?
Give me 100.
No. Matter of fact,
can you
give me? Jesus, my soul loves Jesus, my my soul. Love Jesus, bless his name. My soul, love Jesus, my soul.
Okay, so the let me make sure I fix this music. All right, we are back. Sorry about that. Real quick. So we do have the show. We do have today's show. Today's conversation is how to handle betrayal and rejection. That's today's topic. That's what we're going to jump into. It's going to be good. We're going to jump into that right now. It's going to be good. So if you haven't already, hit the share button. This is on churchleaders.com. It says, how to handle betrayal and rejection. It says, the writer says, betrayal hurts, whether it's from a spouse, a parent, a child, or a BFF. When someone is disloyal and lets you down, you feel it deeply. Et tu, Brute, is a Latin phrase meaning you too, Brutus. And supposedly, these were the last words of the Roman dictator Julius Caesar in his to his friend Marcus Brutus at the moment of his assassination. He says, you may not die at the hand of your betrayer, but something inside of you hurts so badly you might wish you were dead. The writer says, I told my wife about 35 years ago that I was done with our marriage and wanted a divorce. That betrayal wounded her deeply. In a moment of intense anger, my dad once told me to never call him father again. That rejection sent me into a tailspin of grief and despair. Over the years, he says, some good friends, at least I thought they were good friends, who were involved in my church, have betrayed my friendship, and they left cursing my name on their way out. He says, like I said, betrayal hurts. It rips your heart out of your chest, stomps on it, and then casts you aside like trash at a curb for pickup. He says, you've probably already dialed up a painful memory in which someone said or did something to crush your spirit. We've all been there at some point. Tragically, traits like faithfulness, loyalty, and steadfastness are not as common as they once were in our culture. Some have suggested that there is a narcissism epidemic in our country and that too many people today belong to the me generation. When it's all about me, then my commitment to any relationship is subject to my emotions and my wishes at any given moment. Turning my back on others isn't that big of a deal when I'm the center of the world. Obviously, the self-centered views creates a climate in which it's pretty easy to screw somebody and betray them without a second thought. If it is best for me and it helps satisfy me, then why not? So, okay, betrayal happens. Thanks for throwing that pain in my face again. So how should we handle it when it does? Here are four things I would suggest you consider, none of which are easy, by the way. So before we get into this, you guys have been in ministry pastoring for quite a while. I'm sure you've experienced this. Without going into too much detail, how do you just give us briefly some background on some stuff that you've experienced in your positions as even before you became pastors and leading up to your pastorships?
One is they talk to you in your face and make you think that they're very supportive. Just like you said, they'll walk right behind your back and use every word you used against you.
Wow.
I think the biggest betrayal is to be betrayed by somebody in your same profession.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I still stand on the thing what Dr. King said.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, it will not be our oppressors.
Yeah.
Who we have find fault with.
That's true.
It will be to find fault with our friends who said nothing.
Yeah.
And did nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because believe it or not, if they ask you about Cornelius Fars, you know Cornelius Fars? Yeah. What do you have to say? I ain't got nothing to say. You done killed me already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Or I don't know nothing to say about it. Already.
Yeah.
You have killed that individual.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. Are you serious?
Yeah, choosing to abstain is really a no.
Yes,
exactly.
It really is a no.
Yeah.
But it's a cowardly no.
Very
because
cowardly.
See, I would rather you just say the negative stuff out your mouth.
There you go.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But see, but because you're unsure of it and you don't know that the negative stuff is really true,
right?
I really ain't gonna say
I
nothing.
Ain't really gonna say yeah. nothing. I don't care nobody said that's betrayal.
It really is.
And then if you ask, if someone asks, I'm going to put. Pope on the end. Well, we want Pope the pastor. Praise that all. Thank you, Jesus. Eventually. Hallelujah. Soon and very soon. Anyway, but if someone asks you, mm-hmm. well, what about Dana?
Mm-hmm.
And their father say, well, you know, administratively, he's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And la, 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 mm-hmm. la, la. But here it comes, but.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You've already betrayed me.
Yeah.
Because if you're my friend,
yeah.
ain't no buts.
Yeah. 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 That's good. That's
yeah.
good.
You look beyond my faults and you see my needs.
So let's jump right into this. Here are the four things I suggest you consider. Again, we're talking about how to handle betrayal and rejection. Number one.
Whether you're dealing, okay, that gracefully. Whether you're dealing with the disillusion of marriage or the death of a friendship, it's always better to take the relational high road in the aftermath of betrayal. You can kick, scream, and bite with a vengeance, or you can entrust your life and soul to the one who understands. Don't forget, Jesus was scorned, rejected, and betrayed on a regular basis.
Hmm.
He understands, and he's there for you in the midst of your pain.
Mm-hmm.
To choose to die gracefully is not to deny the reality of your situation or your broken heart. It is, however, to say that Jesus helped me to die to myself as you did and to forgive as you forgave, even from the cross. Death of your supposed right for vengeance never comes easy. But remember, with God in the mix, death is never the end of the story either.
Mm.
I take that more so as being what we call the phoenix way of thinking.
Okay. Mm. Okay.
That the phoenix has to die to rise from the ashes.
That's true.
Now, it's hurting now.
Oh, absolutely.
Everybody's a whoo and a son of a bishop and a everything else.
Absolutely.
And you, mother.
Absolutely.
Glory to him.
Absolutely.
And that's, Lord knows that's hard.
Yeah.
And what I would say is, as mama say, the way you feed people, your spoon gets longer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Your spoon gets real long.
Mm-hmm.
Because let me put it out there like this. And I know all of us will say this, that sometimes even with the people of the clergy, mm-hmm. to make themselves look good, they'll make you look bad.
Mm-hmm.
And that's hurtful.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's very, very
that's
hurtful.
True.
Yeah.
That's true.
Very hurtful.
It really is. I think, too, that the thing about is not allowing the rejection and betrayal to make you act out of character, dying gracefully so that you don't erupt and look for vengeance and trying to get stuff back.
We just okay. Live?
I'm not sure what that was. I think
live?
We got something happened there. All right, let's get that back together. But just so that you're not in a position whereas you're walking in your hurt and your pain, because that's not something we're supposed to be as Christians. We're supposed to walk around with this woe is me, this happened, that happened, or whatever.
Yeah.
So go ahead, Doc.
Number two, learn abundantly. In my experience, when there's an issue and conflict between two parties, one person is rarely to blame for everything that happened. Nobody is that perfect to be wrong all of the time. Years ago, a very good friend accused me of something I did not do. I was livid. I ranted and raved for days building a case for my defense and attacking his character in the process.
Mm.
Then the Holy Spirit whispered to my heart, what will you learn in your pain? Of course, my immediate thought was, I'm going to learn how to hurt that guy. Again, came the gentle prodding of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Kurt, don't make this about how right you are. Make it about personal and spiritual growth.
Mm-hmm.
A wise man or woman would ask, where can I learn from this betrayal
mm-hmm.
and this experience?
Yeah.
You know, one of the hardest things, Jesus said best, we have to learn to turn the other cheek. Then also, we have to love those that despitefully misuse us. And it also tells us don't go eye for an eye, two for two.
Mm-hmm.
Then he also said, vengeance is mine, said the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we allow our character to get out of whack because we want to get revenge in what somebody else did. Mm-hmm. I often say this in the basketball in the 90s when Dennis Rodman was playing for Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis Rodman didn't get as many texts as he did in the other place in Chicago
mm-hmm.
because it seemed like the referees would catch the person who's trying to retaliate
yes.
versus the one who initiated.
Yes.
And so Dennis Rodman was good at making people get technical fouls.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happened in this society we live in, 9 times out of 10, it's the one who retaliates.
Mm-hmm.
It's the one that gets caught and get
right.
the biggest penalty
mm-hmm.
versus those who initiated. And we as people got to learn to stand still, see the salvation, because sometimes we're trying to give explanation on something that we didn't do. And when you're trying to get explanation on something you didn't do, sometimes it makes yourself look bad.
Right.
Sometimes even when you're wrong, you got to act like you're and even when you're right, you got to act like you're wrong. And the people outside, and let God handle it for you. You know, I know that's one of the hardest things to do. It is because nobody wants to just be a bullseye.
Mm-hmm.
You're not just going to attack my character and all that stuff. But truth of the matter, we signed up for suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And this field that we signed up for, our character is going to get attacked no matter what.
Right.
Because who we stand for. Jesus said it best. If the world hated him, he's going to hate us as well, because we're part of him. And so we got to make sure that we respond in a way that's pleasing to God.
That's good. That's good. Go ahead and do love number three, Michael.
Forgive profusely?
Yes.
That's
profusely. Yes,
okay.
It is.
Hey, I can read. I'll be frank. It's easy to talk about forgiveness, but extremely difficult to practice it,
mm-hmm.
yes, Lord. In fact, maybe you've noticed it's way easier to hold on to a grudge and to be bitter than to release someone from our judgment. Our human nature demands vindication. We want revenge. We don't typically drift to forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
We fast track to payback. Yes. Certainly, sometimes it's necessary to correct someone's actions against us. And the unjust offered offender may
mm-hmm.
in fact suffer some natural consequences from their injustice towards us. But walking in unforgiveness is not an option for a Christ follower.
Mm-hmm.
We forgive because we've been forgiven. We forgive to set the other person free.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's
of
it.
Our judgment.
Yes.
And mostly to set ourselves free from the bondage of unforgiveness. As Lewis
Smead,
thank you, once said, to forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that the prisoner was you.
Wow.
How about we get this straight? I have a
Come
sermon
on.
Call
uh-huh.
when hating you is killing me.
Ooh, Lord.
Wow.
My.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's. I got an illustration about this man.
That's good.
This young man
hating you is killing me. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Driving a car, he had an accident, killed another young man, and the family, the mother, they went to court, and they really didn't want to have him locked up for a lot of years, but they want him to suffer.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted him to pay this restitution for a long period of time,
mm-hmm.
and so in this restitution, they wanted him to break it down in the smallest forms. Pay like $1
mm-hmm.
a week. Pay $1 a week.
Mm-hmm.
And so the mom mm-hmm. Focus of making him do that was he would be reminded of every time he sent it in
mm-hmm.
what he did to their son.
Yeah.
But bore down,
mm-hmm.
it was more hurting on her.
Yeah.
Because every time she received this mail,
it reminded her.
It reminded her of
yeah.
the tragedy. So she could never get over
yeah.
the pain that she dealt with.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, we as people don't know how to let stuff go. We don't know how to forgive people for what they've done wrong.
Wow. Yeah, it took me a long time to realize that harboring ill feelings towards someone else is only hurting myself.
Yes.
It's a cancer.
It takes a long time to realize that these people that you're holding a grudge against ain't thinking about you.
Woo! Half of them dead.
Come on now, they dead and gone, or they've moved on, and you still walking around angry and bitter. And if I could be honest with some of us church folk, some of us walking around with some church hurt that it's time to move on.
Yeah,
let it go.
It's time to move on, and the reason your churches are where they are is because for what now I understand this. If it's never been dealt with, you can't move on.
I agree.
You have to at least confront the issue. One of the things that I used to love about the old Oprah show, back in the day when she used to, I know right now she's on the OWN Network and she's got the lady Iyanla Von Zandt, Fix My Life. But when she used to come on Oprah and force folk to deal with a mess,
right,
she said, right now, say what you told me.
Yeah.
In the back to her face.
Yeah.
Tell mama right now what the real problem is.
Yeah.
And a lot of times you have family members, you have families that are splintered and stuff like that because folk have not actually sat down at the table. And here is the deal. You can't say we want to sit down at the table and talk. Let's be a family. Let's do this and that. If you're not willing to hear where you wronged me and vice versa.
Right. Yeah.
So, but then this, after you say it, you got to leave it there.
Yeah. Let it
leave it there.
You got to do just like we're supposed to do at the altar. Leave it at the altar.
Can't keep bringing it up.
I don't
want to be bothered with it.
I said that to some folk. I did the corporate prayer here a couple of months ago, and I asked folks to come down to the altar. I said, now, before you come down here, if you're going to pray for something at the altar, now don't pray for it and then take it back to your seat with you.
Yeah,
leave it here. I said, because if you're going to come down here and pray, and then you're still walking back worrying about it, you might as well stay in your seat.
Yeah, right.
Don't walk down here. Talking about Lord, I'm bringing it. I'm turning this over to you. No, you're not.
Yeah.
No, you're not.
Yeah.
Let's keep going. Number four. Go ahead, Doc.
Number four. I've taught the value of unconditional love for decades on a regular basis. I circle back to this issue in my blogs, books, and messages. Why? Because God's love for us absolutely has absolutely nothing to do with their performance, our performance, and He calls us to love as we are loved. When betrayed, love.
Mm-hmm.
When wounded, love.
Mm.
When falsely accused and rejected, love.
Mm.
When a BFF becomes a WPE, worst problem enemy, love. When everything in your wants to scream and curse and take somebody out, love.
Mm-hmm.
It may not change your situation. It may not affect your circumstances. And I can promise you it won't be easy. But love, nonetheless. Love because it changes you. Love lasciviously because the alternative is never good. Alternative is never good. Love because you are loved. When you are Brutus, sticks his knife in your back. Choose by the grace of God to say, ego, quires amos.
Oh, Lord, I shouldn't let you even try to read that. Lord, have mercy. Let's pause right there.
Meaning I love that. Ego. Cut it off. Hey, quires.
Predicate, boast.
He still won't do it.
Meaning, I love and forgive you. Choose well, live well, be well.
Oh God, that was good.
Well,
so at the end of the day, you still gotta love these folks.
You gotta love, but there's a challenge.
It's a challenge.
This is not the challenge to the offender. This is a challenge to the victimized.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the problems we fail in that area.
Mm-hmm.
When we are victimized by something, we want to dwell in it. And I believe we want to dwell in it. That's our excuse to wimp out. Man, listen, if you'll be amazed, and I was a living witness of this because I held some hurt in me with my mom for many years that I didn't let go into my late 30s.
Wow.
That
wow.
took place when I was 9 years old.
Wow.
That I thought in my head that I have forgiven her, but in my heart, I didn't.
Yeah.
And so I'm walking around bleeding for all these years.
Yeah.
Then not only am I bleeding, but I'm hurting others because I've been hurt, and I never dealt with the matter. I never looked at it, faced that demon.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was when I got an opportunity to face it. And let me say this. It didn't happen overnight.
Mm-hmm.
It was a process. But now I can honestly say that I'm healed from it.
Mm-hmm.
But that saying, hurt people.
Oh, absolutely.
That is reality.
Absolutely.
Because what happened, I hurt other women. Because, listen, when I looked at them and it seemed like they was going to leave me the way my mama left me.
Wow.
I got my lick first.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
And it wasn't that I really wanted to hurt them.
I can see that.
It was that I was trying to
protect yourself.
There you go.
Yeah, protect yourself.
There you go.
Absolutely. And
you
it's unfortunate, but you have a lot of folk walking around just like that.
Definitely.
And never having those issues addressed.
Definitely.
Never having those issues addressed. So, man, this was good. I'm glad it's something we talked about because I wanted to talk about it before. Betrayal happens often.
Yeah.
And in this business, unfortunately, in this business, meaning church business, it happens far too often, more than it should. More than it should. Just in I know when I talk in my talking to you as an individual and you individually, just in some of our conversations, you told me stories and I sit back and I go, wow. And then I've shared some stuff with you all here about stuff that's happened in ministry over the years. And you sit back and you go, wow. And what does that do? And then it takes me back to the conversation I had with the gentleman last night. He goes, what do all this serve at the end of the day?
Wow. What does it mean?
You're right. You walking around hurt and broke down and beat up over some mess that happened 20 years ago.
Fighting amongst each other.
Fighting. You know, you can't even sit down for a family dinner. You can't show up. You can't eat together on Christmas or Thanksgiving because of all of these issues that have never been addressed. But everybody walking around like, oh, no, we fine.
That's painful.
And we're not.
And we're, like you said, walking around bleeding and don't know it. So. Yeah, that's good. That's good. All right, so it's about time for us to get out of here. We're doing over a little bit, but hey, we almost on time. What you got going on Friday and the rest of the weekend, sir?
Just got Deacon's training. Praise the Lord, God the prayer.
Deacon's training? What what does that entail?
I don't know, but I'm not doing it.
Oh, will you be there?
I'll be there.
Oh, you going to watch?
Hey, Reverend Haney's doing it, and I respect him.
Reverend Haney from
God the prayer.
Good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I respect him enough. He's been pastor about 25 years.
Oh, well.
So, yeah, amen.
Oh, okay.
Respect him enough. Mm-hmm. Fifth Sunday, I'll be back for Fifth Sunday. Fifth Sunday is, even though my team lost, that's all right. I'm still wearing my jerseys and stuff. But that's all. that's all going on. Listen, and I'm going to say this, and go on. We had something in LaGrange. We had the Dr. King celebration, which I felt as though we could have did much better.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to make sure that when we're celebrating Black History Month and Dr. King's birthday, that we make sure we make it relevant.
Yeah, and not just something.
Because, no offense, just because you marched with Dr. King does not make you relevant today.
That's true.
That's true.
That's true. See, Jesse Jackson, I'm sorry.
Right.
I'm sorry. Y'all pray for me over here.
Just because you are some kin to Emmett Till doesn't make you relevant today.
That's true.
Especially if you ain't doing nothing. Especially if all you are, and I'm going to move on and you can tell me, but if all you are is Emmett Till's third cousin.
Yeah. You probably never met
him. What does that mean?
Even if you did. But you ain't. And I don't mean no
disrespect.
No disrespect to the legacy of Emmett Till, but he got killed for being black. And
right.
Supposedly whistling at a white woman that they say never really happened
right.
In Mississippi.
But I understand all the backlash about it, but the question still remains.
Emmett Till was not a civil rights leader.
No.
He was a cause.
Yeah,
he was a cause.
No,
he was a lightning rod. He was the reason behind a movement.
I think I even hasten to say, and it sounds crazy,
mm-hmm.
that he was a casualty of war.
Yes, that's exactly it. That's good.
He was a casualty
that's
of
good.
War. But because the war is still going on,
yeah,
you know, I still need something else. So okay, I'm sorry.
That's good. What about you, sir? What do you got going? You got Bible study tonight?
I have, man. This week,
you do?
Man,
okay.
I have two funerals this weekend.
Wow.
And a church business meeting.
Church funerals you have to do?
No,
oh.
I actually just have to attend.
Okay,
but
gotcha.
I have to stay the whole services.
Gotcha.
And so, church business meeting.
Well, we're praying for you for comfort, not conference, comfort.
Definitely, okay. Definitely. So it's got a pretty busy weekend, man. It's gonna be a busy.
Awesome,
what
awesome.
What you got going on?
Awesome. Nothing, man. We, you know, same old, same old. Yeah, that's the same old thing. Hopefully, we get it together. That's good. That's good. All right, y'all. We're gonna get out of here. Pastor Henderson, get your prayers out, please, sir.
Yes. Now, God, we thank you again for this time of sharing. We ask God that you would bless your people. We ask that you would cover them in your blood. We pray, God, that you would give us a call to consciousness, a call for the beloved community. We pray now, God, as we travel up and down the dangerous highways, keep us from seeing the unseen dangers. In Jesus' name, bless the bereaved family and those who are suffering during this time. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Look out, y'all. We will be back on Friday. Praise Break Friday. We'll be back better than ever. Y'all stay blessed. We out of here.